Hi, I'm Matt Whitman, and this is the 10-Minute Bible Hour podcast. You can catch everything involving my program over at the10minutebiblehour.com. In the meantime, here we go with another episode on the Book of Acts.
Have you ever met someone who is irrationally hateful toward you and you had no idea why? How do you deal with something like that?
You say radon is silent but deadly, but then you expect me not to make farting noises with my mouth? What is this? You know what? We're not going to die of radon. We're going to die of boredom. All right? And if I had a gun with two bullets and I was in a room with Hitler, Bin Laden, and Toby, I would shoot Toby twice. Okay, all right.
You were really funny and then you went too far.
Irrational hatred is the turd in the punch bowl of our otherwise beautiful shared human experience. We just have this capacity to get weird and worked up with each other over things that really shouldn't be that big a deal, even in disagreement. And historically, one of the things that's really tripped a lot of people's triggers is this whole Jesus and Christianity thing that we talk about so much. So we're looking at a passage today that I think lends itself to asking the question, why do people get so upset sometimes about Jesus and Christianity? And what, if anything, can Christians do about it? Specifically, we're going to be in Acts 17, verses 1 through 15, and you are literate. So I'm going to let you do it yourself using the following 5-second reading intermission. Go. This passage breaks down really neatly into three parts. In the first part, Paul rolls into Thessalonica, which is really interesting, and the details about that town are important to the story, but, you know, time. So I got a bonus video on that one. In Thessalonica, he starts by looking up Jewish people, and as he's done a lot of other places, working through what we would call the Old Testament to explain how the scriptures point to Jesus and Christianity. And it works. A lot of people respond, which leads us to part two. This makes rival Jewish people irrationally angry about the thing, and they can't outreason Paul, so instead they hire some thugs in the marketplace to go and throw a giant riot. Then they try and arrest Paul and Silas, but they can't find them, so they arrest some other poor schmuck named Jason, who we don't really know anything else about, and they drag him out and say, this guy hangs out with Paul and Silas, and these people are causing riots, even though they're the ones who sponsored the riots intentionally on their own. Oh, nobody knows what to do with it. Things get crazy, so Paul and Silas have to get out of town, which leads us to part three, which is where Paul and Silas go 45 miles down the road to Berea. And they do the same thing in Berea, but here it really works, because the Bereans liked to sit and reason together and think about Bible, and they did so and said, wow, this does all point to Jesus and Christianity, sign us up. But just as things are going well there, the Jewish people from back in Thessalonica decide that it's worth the 45-mile hike to go and harass Paul and cause him problems in Berea as well. So Paul also ends up having to flee from there. It's like the fourth town he's had to flee from so far. I think this one is in here most of all because it establishes this pattern in the middle of Acts that Paul took the message of Jesus to places, some people responded, and some people got really insanely angry about it. That's a follow-through on Luke chapter 8, where Jesus gave the parable of the sower, indicating that some people are going to like this, some people are really going to not like this, and that's not an indictment on the quality of God's message of grace, it's an indictment on the character of the people who angrily reject it. So in light of all of this, why do people have an irrational hatred for Jesus and Christianity? Well, one reason that I would throw out is because it's not irrational. It's a rejection of how we act and how we treat people. Because sometimes Christians aren't cool, and we try to use force or manipulation, or we're just jerks to try and get our way and make things we think would be more Christian happen by doing things that aren't that Christian. That irritates people because it seems hypocritical and controlling, and nobody likes that. And in those situations, I think people have a legitimate gripe. But there are other reasons as well that I think are a little less rational or a little less honest. For example, Christianity just comes with the assumption that there's somebody who's better than us and that it's God. That God is king and we're not, and doing Christianity means we bend the knee to a power greater than ourselves. I think that's hard for everybody, but I think some people just really won't go for that, and their refusal to go for that is manifested in a weird, threatened anger and lashing out. A third reason is that I think a lot of us are very vested in the evil of the world. I mean, not intentionally, not in the worst, most awful, odious stuff, but I just mean in the institutions that involve tension and friction and violence and not liking other people. And if the Jesus grace gospel thing really happened, it would bust up that racket. The second question today is, how can Christians respond to this irrational hatred when it happens? Number one, don't be a jerk. Easiest thing in the world is to think that we're entitled to it if somebody else is a jerk to us. Oh, you were irrationally hateful? Well then, I get to be irrationally hateful back. And those can be the ground rules of the world, I guess. But for Christians, it doesn't make sense because we're recipients of the grace of God and we're supposed to give away the grace of God. So I guess the second thing, I already talked about it, is grace. That's our trademark. That's what we do. That's how we're known. And that means that third thing, sometimes we're just going to have to eat it. We're going to have to take it. People are going to get irrationally angry. They're going to want to do mean things to us. And we have to decide, do I want to play the short game and get my way? Or do I want to play the long game? And sometimes, maybe not every time, just take it in the interest of something that matters more. Live with a little bit of criticism. Not respond to the nasty, stupid remark on the internet. Or respond with grace and consideration. It's hard for us to do that. That's counterintuitive. It is not the culture that we are existing in right now. But grace is countercultural. And grace is also the thing that can diffuse irrational hatred and transform weird, screwed up stuff within us, weird, screwed up stuff within me, into something that's redemptive and good. Irrational hatred is part of the deal. We're going to run into it. We should respond to it with grace. And I hope that because of the hope we have in God as Christians, we never duplicate it ourselves. If you think I've earned it, I would love to have your subscription. And don't forget the bonus video on Thessalonica. I think that's plenty. I'm Matt. This is the 10-Minute Bible Hour. And we'll see you soon.
You say wrong is silent but deadly, and then you expect me not to make farting noises with my mouth? What is this?
You know what?
We're not going to die of radon. We're going to die of boredom. Right? And if I had a gun with two bullets, and I was in a room with Hitler, Bin Laden, and Toby, I would shoot Toby twice.
Okay. All right. Really funny.